and welcome to the Tech and Toast podcast. We simplify the way you buy and manage your hospitality tech. You can click through to techontoast.community where you can search our marketplace, attend our events, grab your free tech audit, and we will help you visualize your tech stack as you grow into 2024. Meanwhile, summer in Australia.
Hey, Louis, do you think we should sponsor the Tech on Toast podcast? I mean, I really like Chris and I really like what it's all about.
Yeah, I think that's a ripper idea, LP. It's a perfect fit for what we do at Red Cat.
I mean, I agree. I'm just not sure how we get our message across around, like, Red Cat specializing in multi-site groups, you know, like cafe groups and fast casual groups and QSRs and all that.
Maybe we mention some of our customers like Nando's in Australia, New Zealand, the restaurants at the Aussie Open, Boost Juice International. I mean, they've got over 700 sites.
Hang on. I think that was the sponsors. This is the Tech on Toast podcast. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the next episode of the Tech on Toast podcast. And this week, delighted to be joined by Hugo Opdendries. Did I get that right?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Almost as delighted as I am.
Head of UK partnerships at Piggy. And we love Piggy. It's the best name I've got, I think, on the marketplace. It's my favourite name. And how are you, mate? You've just come back from holiday. Welcome to BrewDog.
Yeah, no, I'm great indeed. I had a one more week of 25 degrees whilst the weather was miserable here. That always does make it a little bit extra enjoyable. I'm really well. Obviously it's Halloween, so I dropped the little girl off.
What was she dressed as?
In a fairy outfit.
Okay, that's
wings.
Good. My daughter came in this morning dressed. No, she's not little. She's 14. She came dressed in an outfit that I don't want her to wear, looking like she was 25 or something. And I said to her, what is that? She said, I'm a spy. I said, what's a spy got to do with Halloween? She goes, we're all going as policemen and spies. I was like, okay, I don't want to know.
Like Mrs. Smith, yeah. I imagine.
You'd good luck with that, mate. The problem is they get older.
So I still have about 12 years to worry about that.
12 years to relax until that drama happens. Exactly. But tell us a little bit about, I mean, you first, I suppose. I mean, how long have you been in the UK? What's going on with Piggy? And tell us a bit about Piggy as well, because I think Piggy are probably one of the most exciting products to come to market in terms of loyalty rewards that we've seen for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I think you're definitely right there, especially based on feedback that I've been getting from within the industry. But I'll give a really quick intro on both counts. So my name's Hugo, we know that by now. I'm from the Netherlands, lived in the UK for 11 years by now.
Practically English.
Practically English. It's as much my home as anywhere else would be, because even before I came to the UK, I sort of lived around in various places. I've never lived longer in one city than I have in London, by quite a distance, actually. So I came here to meet new people from various backgrounds, various cultures, and that's exactly what I got, and so that's why I sort of stuck around. Now I'm working for Piggy. It's the first time since I've been in the UK that I'm actually working for a Dutch company as well. So Piggy is a loyalty software provider. Our customers create their own loyalty programs completely in their own brand identities, and in ways that not only suit their businesses, but also suit what their customers want out of a loyalty or rewards program. And it's all sort of very simple to do, very click of a button. You don't need to be a developer of any kind. You open it, and after playing around with it for an hour, you have a sort of completely custom loyalty program.
And I think it's really interesting, because I think some of the problems with, I suppose, loyalty reward or whatever you want to, you know, whatever you want to package it, over the past 5 to 10 years, that apart from the really, really big guys who built their own and did whatever, it was quite complex, or you required a new marketing team just to onboard it, as it would be. So, I'm a user of Piggy, and it is simple, and that's not being dismissive. It's actually, the product is deliberately built right, so the UX is easy for the customer end and easy for the people that manage it as well.
Yeah, and I think that might have a little bit to do with sort of our background. I think what might be interesting to know is that Piggy is still what is fancily described as a bootstrapped company. So Piggy's been around for just over 10 years. And originally it was built as a sort of a very purpose-driven application that allowed small businesses who were not able to compete with like the larger entities who were able to employ agencies to go and build, custom loyalty programs, which required like custom development and all that kind of stuff. And so what Piggy originally was one card that enabled consumers to have various different loyalty programs onto it. And then our, at the time, small sales team would go out and go to the local bakeries and go to the local coffee shops and the local butchers and say, hey, look, you know, you can do a little bit more than your sort of stamp cards and like give your 10th loaf of bread for free or your 10th cup of coffee. And businesses were desperately looking for this because all the larger chains were coming out with, you know, here's a card that's going to give you points, and it's going to give you rewards, and it's going to give you discounts. And it was just sort of not doable. And I think because of that, so that gave us a right to exist, and that's been really successful. And you know, we were able to start small, not require any external investment in order to sort of keep growing. So, you know, from there, it was very organic. But if you look at that type of target market, it needs to be simple. If you're going to go and give them complicated tools right after they've been kneading the dough and, you know, slicing the hams, it's just they're not going to get behind a computer and, like, create a complicated loyalty program. So it needs to be simple. And all the features that by now have been added have all sort of been based on customer requests. So, like, look, I want to be able to, probably the most important one, which came first, was that we at some point started realizing businesses didn't want to create a loyalty program based on, you know, one card that had multiple businesses. They wanted to create their own loyalty program. So that was really the first step in making it very customizable. By now, it's like the consumer basically never sees Piggy.
Yeah.
You go as a business owner, you log into your own Piggy dashboard, but from there you create everything in your own brand identity. And then, you know, slowly we start adding things as gift cards and prepaid functionality, tiers. Probably what is the core of our solution right now is the sort of customer engagement that is very sort of personalized. So,
yeah, and that's interesting because I think that the engagement side of thing, when I looked at loyalty before, I mean, I'm talking a while ago, you kind of draw a circle with your hand on all the different customer touch points, but it wouldn't work everywhere. Do you know what I mean? So it might be great on premise, but then off premise it wouldn't work, or in your phone it wouldn't work. And I think that simplicity of being able to join all the dots is really key, right? And that's what the smaller guys can take advantage of.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we have a bit of a sort of like an education piece on our hand, I think, in that regard, because maybe to quickly hark back to what I actually do for Piggy. So I've joined Piggy about a year and a half ago as a head of UK partnerships. And what that means is I work with other businesses in the UK that are in touch with customers that would be good prospects for our businesses, that are likely to be able to extract a lot of value from our solution. And then first make sure that we have like an integration up and running with them and to make sure that we fit in their sort of their ecosystem. But one of the key learnings that I've made in the time that I've been with Piggy now is when you say loyalty, a lot of businesses, they think, oh, yeah, loyalty, we know that. It's like you do some points and then you do like a 5% discount or you do a cashback. And that's not loyalty at all. Like, that's not going to get people to come back. What it does is it undercuts your bottom line. You end up giving a discount also to the people that were going to come anyways.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really create any real brand affinity or brand affection.
And that's what you're looking to do, right? It's the raving fans you want to bring back, isn't it? Those people that love you, but you want to reward them for loving you.
Exactly. And if they love you, then what you want from them, if they love you already, you don't want to go and like, I mean, it's great to reward them, but if they're going to come back regardless, it makes no sense to give them, 5% off of your profits, because that goes straight off your bottom line. What you want them to do is get them to do referrals.
Yeah.
You know, if they are massive brand advocates for you, then you want them to make sure that they bring their friends in.
Yeah.
You know, you got to use them as like an acquisition tool. Whereas if you have a customer that comes not very often, but you actually do know that they live very relatively close. But when they do come, they you know, have a really good spend per head, really good average spend. Those are the kind of customers you want to be able to target in a way that just drives them to like come back more often.
Yeah.
Whereas in the other way around, you might have a customer that comes really frequently, but then always only ever orders just that one cup of coffee. You know, those are the ones you want to see. How can you get these people to also buy a cake, or even if it is just an extra, you know, a bottle of sparkling water or something like that?
And how does the CRM help there? Because you guys manage CRM as well, right? Within your I suppose your feature list, within your product set. And how does that help, I suppose, understand behavior like you're talking about there? So like how detailed can we get around if Chris comes in and has a cup of coffee and doesn't ever buy a cake, or if Chris comes in on a Wednesday? Do you have that kind of detail where you can look at what people are doing?
Yes. Yeah. So I think if you sort of picture it in that circle that you mentioned before, you know, we see loyalty as a sort of helicopter view of a couple different aspects. It's A, sort of the customer behavior, customer characteristics, which in the systems you can call them attributes, so you can create your own database, you can add custom attributes, and these attributes can be anything. They can be, you know, what are their dietary preferences, it could be information that you hold about them with regards to their lifestyle, obviously, you know, birthday is a very sort of common one.
Yeah.
But if you have very specific fields that make sense for your industry or for your business, it's very easy to just add that to your database. And then you can use that information to, you know, make targeted decisions around specific customer groups. And so if you are saving, you know, you know how much they their average transactions are or how frequently they come, you know, then you can target those people based on not only what you think how you think these people can add more value to your business, whether it is by getting them in more often or like we mentioned earlier, getting them to bring their friends more often.
Yeah.
But also what you can do is drive, you know, specific rewards. So that's rewards. Often if you say loyalty, especially here in the UK, I don't know if that's everywhere the case, but you say loyalty, people think just about rewards.
Yeah, I think it's because we've been brainwashed by Tesco, right?
Yeah, probably.
Because in the UK, really...
Tesco and Nectar.
Yeah, but that's the thing. In the UK, there's only really... I mean, you know, bar the boom of it now and everyone getting on board. Prior to that, it was points. Everyone was... And I think that's why people come to you going, oh, you do point. You do points. Can you help us with points? And I spoke to a customer yesterday, actually, who were looking at an option for loyalty, and I was talking about you guys, and then they said the opposite. They're like, we don't want points, we want to add value to our loyal customers. And they were looking at spend, you know, if they spend $5,000 we give them this, if they spend $10,000 in a year we give them this, and tiered kind of approach. And that the tiers is something that you guys specialize in, right? That you do, that I think some of the other guys don't. Is that, am I right in saying that?
I think we do it particularly well. I think that's definitely
probably
the case.
How I should have said it.
Look, and it's super easy because you can create tiers. You know, typically, I wouldn't recommend, you know, creating more than maybe 3 or 4.
Yeah.
But what helps with tiers is that you can really make a customer feel like they are valued. You know?
Yeah.
Look, just because you've done this now, like first you've joined our like rewards program.
Yeah, you're in the club.
Or you've become a member, or you've become one of our brothers, whatever you want to sort of call it, and then you can link those tiers based on, you know, various, like either on spend metrics or on behavior metrics. You can say, look, if you've been to all 5 of our locations, then you become like an explorer.
Yeah.
Or if you've spent more than £1,000 in the last year, then you get like a gold membership, and a gold membership might give you access to, in the hospitality space, either a discount at the bar, or early access to a tasting menu, stuff like that, whichever you want to do. And I think specifically, maybe what's interesting to add, we don't do this just for the hospitality industry. So we're active in retail, we're active in
Well, this was the customer I spoke to yesterday. They have a retail business and an F&B business on the same site. So they are, and they're turning over, you know, millions of pounds, but they are very much a luxury style brand, and they've got F&B and retail. So their request was quite, they were like, we're trying to find something, but we can't find anyone who understands retail and F&B. And that's why I thought, oh, piggy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's a real strength to us. And it's probably one that we actually should explore even further than we are right now. We're having particular success in the hospitality industry, so it's easy to sort of say, okay, cool, let's follow that. But the reality is, as you mentioned, I think we have very little competition in that space where retail and hospitality is combined. There's just like,
and I think that's becoming more common, right? I came from a brand for 10 years with Carluccio's, where we used to sell. We had what we called our shelf and book, which was our panettone, our hams, our cheeses, all that kind of, our books, you know, our cooking books, all that kind of stuff we'd sell. But then we had a really strong F&B business on the side of it. But that grew, especially over Christmas, special times. And I think that more, especially over the pandemic, a lot of brands learned, actually, we need to create more product to shift e-commerce. And I think a lot of them learned that. And I think that now they're kind of looking at wrapping that all in, say, how do we have a great e-commerce business that doesn't distract our operations, but we can reward for both. And I think that's where I think a lot of the brands are coming to. Hence why there's this bit of a cluster, I'm not going to say that word, a bit of a mess. Now when they come to looking for tech to solve that problem, right? Because you've got to find a way where that's what I was talking about, that circle where all those customers get rewarded for their behavior without being too messy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the main part is, look, I don't want to say email's dead because it's not. But if you email people generic stuff, they will open it twice, and then the third time, if the first two emails didn't apply to them, they will never open another email again.
Yeah.
And so if you're sending untargeted, random newsletters with, promoting your pepperoni pizza to a vegan,
yeah,
to have to take a very sort of
that
very,
makes
very
sense.
Modern example, then that's it, right? These people are offended and
gone,
or at least they've lost interest.
Yeah,
and so you want to be really careful with that kind of stuff. Whereas if you send less, but whatever you send is personalized and it's targeted, and you know your email says, "Hey, Chris, as one of our valued gold members, we have this special thing." You've been recognized twice, and also because if you use like a tier or something like that, you said, look, as a valued gold member that we know is a vegan, we want to inform you about some of the new options that we're adding to our menu. So you might be doing a completely new menu, right? But to the person of whom you know that is vegan, or of whom you know that might be belonging to any specific religious group, you say, look, these are the options that we think might appeal to you. And then there's three different moments in which you sort of appeal to that that personal sort of involvement where you recognize someone for who they are. And you can do the same with rewards. So you can make rewards that are only visible to specific customer groups. And so therefore have, only the relevant stuff sort of popping up for the right people.
Yeah, and that's that. It's like personalization, and everyone kind of talks about it a lot, and automation, personalization. I suppose any operators listening might think, oh my God, that sounds like hard work. I've only got one person in my marketing team. How the hell are they going to segment a CRM to kind of go to all these people? How do I schedule all that? But it isn't that, I'm not trying to dismiss people's capacity here, but it isn't that tricky, is it?
No, not at all. And I think one of the best ways to do it is to sort of just start small. Look, we have customers that they have already, if they're businesses that are lucky enough to be able to have like a marketing manager,
yeah,
that is creative and has already envisioned like how it should work. Great, cool. We can 9 out of 10 times accommodate for 9 out of 10 requests.
Yeah.
Just because there's a lot of different functionality to the tool with, gift cards and prepaid and tiers and rewards and vouchers and You know, everything can be on your like wallet pass. So it's if they have all of that in their head, great, cool. Let's go through it. Let's set up a plan. Let's figure out what the best way is to set it all up for you. We always try to get through our onboarding our customers to do it themselves.
Yeah.
And then we just have sort of, we make a plan. We say, look, you want these and these and these things. We're going to break it up into four sessions. Every session we're going to explain it to you. Then you're going to go away and sort of build it yourself. And then the session after that, we'll review what you've done, make sure that it does what you want it to do.
Yeah.
And very often that will be the case. And then we move on to explaining the next bit and they then create that. However, we have a lot of our customers who just join. They start collecting a little bit of data, a few simple rewards maybe, or maybe just a tiered system. And then they go off that. And then at some point after a month, you review, you know, you're going to have a customer success manager or an account manager, whichever you want to call it. And then we review, say, hey, look, you know, what's the information you've acquired? How many people have you onboarded on your loyalty program? Now, what are we going to do with this information? And then really, it's just like, what, an hour a month?
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm doing it myself. We're about to launch Piggy at our next. We're doing an event at Hawksmoor in Liverpool on the 9th of November. And we've got 40 business owners coming from exactly the people you described. So Hawksmoor wants to basically introduce themselves to the Liverpool people and say, we're here. We're not the scary people from London. We've come to, you know, take part in the community and be part of the business community. And so we've invited 40 business owners from Liverpool to join. And they are exactly what you talked about, the bakers, the cake makers, the coffee shops, the on-site restaurants. So all these guys coming in, and all of them will join the Tech on Toast program when they come along on the day. And we're also sucking it and seeing, if you know what I mean. We're just going to learn. Because we're quite odd. We don't have a location. We are a digital entity. Yeah, yeah. But we want to reward people for coming to brunches and doing all that kind of stuff. So when we first met you guys, I was just like, I've been looking in my head, I kind of like it, but Sarah did the onboarding like you just spoke about, who runs my operations. And within, I think she came back and spoke to me about an hour later going, easy.
Yeah.
Well, so if you could write that on your website, there you go. Sarah just literally went, easy, let's go. And I was like, okay. And that's what you want to hear, right? You don't need all of that. I suppose onboarding is a scary word for a lot of businesses. Like you say, if they don't have the infrastructure, even if they do have the infrastructure, you've got to make it as easy as possible. And that's why building with independence in the start of your journey has been crucial, right? To understanding now that actually, even if they're a bit bigger, this is still easy for them to turn on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, we see that even now with, because traditionally, if you were like a chain, if you were like, you know, sort of enterprise level, you'd go out to an agency, you get an agency to sort of build everything for you. What we're seeing now, so obviously, even though it wasn't originally our target market, we are focusing on it more and more, mainly just because we noticed that our solution over the 10 years that we've been adding to it and perfecting it and building it out is by now so complete that it caters to the needs of enterprise businesses. And what an enterprise marketing manager might find is that it's really annoying to have to go to an agency and say, hey, look, I want to now start collecting information about whether or not my customers belong to specific companies in my area. Can you please implement that? That goes in some sort of queue with the agency. They might not have the back end to hold this information, so they have to go and ask a developer to go and make it, but the developer is already working on something for an even bigger customer.
Yeah, then they take priority.
And it takes a while, and then at some point they want a report, they have to go and email an account manager, say, can I get the report? And so we're actually having an influx of, you know, those enterprise businesses, especially in the Nordics, where we've been like really, really successful with a couple of big chains, because, you know, they want to just control their own information. And if they want to start collecting this, they go in, they edit their database, they add an extra field. They say, cool, I'm going to add this now. And that's also how, for instance, our employee loyalty part works. You know, you add in your database that, yes, they are also an employee. Which location do they work? How long have they been working here? And then you can sort of ring fence that group that you know is an employee and say, cool, just because you're an employee, you're going to get like XYZ extra rewards. And so, yeah, I think it's about very much that ease of use and the customizability of it.
And there is so much to talk about. We need 2 hours probably to talk through all of your features. But you mentioned the wallet on your phone. You mentioned gift vouchers, prepaid. There's quite a lot of different levers you could pull as an operator, right? If you want, like you just said, you kind of start out with pick one,
yeah,
kind of get it working, then go to the next one. In terms of success, I suppose, when you're looking at mid-market or, you know, bigger brands or even the smaller ones again, where do most people end up in terms of what are they finding is the most useful for them? Or is it no size fits all type thing?
I mean, there's definitely a few things I think that are valuable to almost anyone. I think the engagement piece where you use the information that you hold about your customers and then use that to sort of segment and target specific customers or customer groups within your entire audience. That's probably something that all of our customers should use. The gift card section is also relevant for at least a very large portion of our customers, especially now as we're heading into the festive season.
Yeah, how easy is that to switch on then? So if I don't have a gift card today and I join Piggy, how quickly can I be gift carding?
You can be using gift cards tomorrow.
Wow.
Like easy. Because we can support physical gift cards. We don't do the printing, but we do have partners who know our software very well and can organize, you know, cards and all that kind of stuff. That we can, of course, put our customers in touch with. But it also works digitally, so you can just go ahead in your Piggy dashboard, create a widget that you can copy and paste onto your website. And from there, you can take payment online. That payment doesn't pass through us. That goes straight into your bank account. We don't take commissions. And through that, people can then go online and they can buy a gift card, have it emailed to themselves or straight to the person that's going to receive it. The business owner already has that money. So for cash flow, I think gift cards is really, really relevant. And that's also something that we do here in the industry, not just from the customers that we're signing up, but also from some of the technology partners that we're working with. It's just been really, really relevant. It's got us a foot in the door with you know, various tech partners in the UK that said, look, we really need an extra gift carding or a better gift carding platform for our customers. They're asking about it. And I've had point of sale systems from retail as well as hospitality reaching out to us and say, hey, cool. We've looked at your like API information. We've gone ahead and created an integration because our customer's asking for gift cards. Can we just like review it quickly? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Can we also maybe acquaint ourselves with one another and talk about
can we say hello first?
yeah. But
That's good news, right? I mean, because I'm learning quickly about APIs, and you look at the documentation prior to doing the integration, and it's very funny it's very interesting how different some of these integrations are. And obviously they're reading yours, looking through your API notes, thinking, this is simple, again.
It should be, yeah, definitely. Because I think it is quite a testament to our own developers and how structured they've been already, you know, over the course of at least the past 5 years, where everything's just very organized and always sort of backwards compatible. And if we're adding new functionality, you know, it's all super clear to just go through the documentation and be like, look, what information do you want? And if we have some partners that might want some information that is not currently readily available through the APIs, because of, you know, how well organized the back end is, we can just create that call and make that information sort of accessible, so long as it's within privacy or data protection guidelines, obviously.
You can find all this information out, by the way. You can go and check out Piggy's website, you can check out the marketplace on Tech on Toast. But if I'm an operator and I'm starting this journey, or maybe I'm on a journey already that isn't, let's do it two ways. So I'm on a journey already that isn't going great, or haven't had a great experience with loyalty rewards, whatever you want to call it. what's the best way to kind of get started to come across to you guys? And is it that onboarding piece and having that conversation about baby steps, or is there any advice you'd give them?
Yeah, I think if you've struggled a little bit, then probably what that means is that either you have a very clear idea in your head of what you want, but you can't currently get it anywhere, which could be a massive nightmare. Or and we also find this a lot is that people just come to us and they want our feedback and our knowledge. And they said, look, just help us out. We know we need loyalty. And I think that's very clear in the market. Like, loyalty seems to be a very, very hot topic.
It's my number one inquiry right now.
Yeah. So, and if that's the case, then it's really important, I think, to start small and to just say, hey, cool. Where can I start collecting a little bit of information about my customers? Start organizing it. And then see what works, and then you can add some rewards. And certainly, I think you're right in the sense that more and more people are, or businesses are not looking to really give out points and that kind of stuff. But you can do recognition in like so many different ways.
Yeah, I mean, this one particular lady was saying to me that she didn't want it to be customer facing. She goes, I don't want to go on their phone. I don't want to have a little thing by the till saying do this and get that. I just want a reward, say thank you from us to them without, because basically it was stuff like, you spend a certain amount of money in the year, you get a glass of champagne when you eat in the restaurant. They didn't even tell them, it just arrives on the table type thing. They say, oh, just because you're one of our loyal guests. And that kind of stuff's really cool, right? Because that's the stuff that kind of ekes into their psyche going, do you know what? I didn't even ask for that. I didn't even know I was going to get it. And that's just a really nice, that adds value. And I think that's where I suppose the table service type operators want to get to. They want to get to I'm sure they want to do digital rewards as well. But I think that kind of recognition piece is really cool for employees and for customers.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially indeed in the sort of the higher segments, that tiered element is really appealing, and they want to, if we are integrated in the point of sale system, which in the UK, the first one that we integrated with in the hospitality space was Tivalis, but by now there's several others. We have a direct integration with Lightspeed as well, and a new one upcoming with probably the most hyped new entrant in the market, agreed to not sort of go out to market with it just quite yet because the integration not been built, but coming very soon, as well as maybe another key partner to mention, sort of for the order and pay space that we've been working very closely together with is StoreKit, and it's if everything is integrated, so in sort of the luxury or upper segment of restaurants, it needs to be integrated into the point of sale system, so the restaurant employee can go in there and say, hey, cool, so this is this is Chris Fletcher, let's see, okay, cool, so actually Chris is silver, or Chris
definitely
can
bronze.
Have an extra glass of Prosecco, basically on any of his returns he's allowed a free coffee. You can put that based on tiers, then that enables the restaurant employee as well to sort of give away a piece that is controlled because you set the parameters.
Yeah, I've earned it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the restaurant employee can go ahead and just go to the table, and because he's seen in the till that you're entitled this, hey, Chris, thanks again for coming back to us. We love having you around here, so coffees are on us tonight. And you never really need to know unless, I suppose that's always going to be a key point. Where do you pick up which customer is which? But we have so many different ways to sort of make that really easy. So if it's integrated through, say, a reservation system, then that can be automated and the customer never needs to see it. Also put a member card in their Apple Wallet or Google Wallet, and just ask very very early on, hey, look, are you registered with us? Do you mind if I scan you really briefly?
And again, that's not a weird thing anymore, right? Scanning people. Like, I went to football the other week. We had to scan our tickets, right? Everything's scanning now. And I don't think that behavior before was kind of like, oh, God, really? You know, I have to get it out. But I think the pandemic changed that again with the, in the England, obviously in the UK, we had the scan for our booster jabs or whatever. So I think everybody was doing it. My mum and dad were doing it, right? We're getting out their phones and showing their barcodes. So I think that behavior changed. And just to wrap up, I did, we carried out an audit recently, and 96% of the people surveyed said they were going to buy new tech this year in 2024. They were definitely looking to buy. So nearly everybody in the survey said, yes, we'll do something with tech. Don't know what it might be, but we're going to do something. Out of those 94, I think 70%, they had three main things that were bothering them. And you just mentioned one. One was cost. Two was integration. And three was the capacity to do just to get it done, which you kind of get in hospitality because we're always time poor. But you covered off there quite nicely about integrations, about how key they are to kind of enabling your product to be the best it can be, and vice versa for the POS guy or the order and pay guy or whoever you are integrated with. Do you think we're getting, as a final thought, I suppose, are we getting better at that? Are integrations becoming more easy to access? Are they better quality than they were previously?
Absolutely. We're actually working internally on a bit of UI, which for the non-techie listeners is how it looks on your screen, which buttons to push in order to sort of operate our solution. So we're actually working on something that is going to be really, really easy to pull into like a point of sale system where there's just one call and then we basically send the program onto the screen of the point of sale system. Whereas traditionally, you know, a different call needed to be built basically for any functionality. It's about making it accessible. Nobody wants to have, you know, four or five different devices set up.
God, no.
Or put the same information in twice. I think that kills a system if that's the case. There are things that you can do with our system standalone, and we have plenty of customers using it standalone. If they're just focusing on the engagement piece or they're just focusing on the gift card piece, you know, then standalone can still bring, you know, huge benefits in that regard. But certainly, you know, it's my aim to get as many of our partners integrated with, you know, the best functionality that we have, so that we can enable our customers to make use of the full system in whichever way it suits not only their business, but also the end consumer.
Love it. And for you, what you're looking forward to most? We're nearly at the end of 2023, which is mental. I mean, it's like November already. Well, Halloween. But what are you looking forward to most about next year for you and Piggy?
So Piggy has landed in the UK a year and a half ago. And I've been a little bit like a spider in a web. Tugging away in all sorts of different directions and in different industries to sort of see, you know, where I would get a little bit of a response. We've obviously just had the big Hospitality Tech Expo at the Excel, where our partner Stivalis really kindly gave us
an area. Yes, you had a shout out there, didn't you?
Yeah, it was really great. So they sponsored the VIP area there. And within that VIP area, they gave us sort of a mini stand, and I've been visiting all of those conferences since joining Piggy, and this year, all of the businesses and a lot of the visitors, operators that came on, just showed that they had by now heard of us. They were aware of us. We've got a couple of really exciting big customers going through onboarding now, which will massively help our visibility. Plus, we have so many relevant integrations set up as well, that compared to last year, our addressable market is just much, much larger. We have sort of, I think, the testimonials of some key players behind us now. What I'm really excited about is to sort of start really reaping the benefits of all the hard work that we've been putting in.
Yeah, I mean, we'll be doing you a shout out on the November the 9th at Hawksmoor. We'll be signing everyone up into Piggy, so it's great fun. And we really want to change the way that, you know, Lortie's done from our side, right? All of the tech guys that work with us as partners in Tech on Toast, we want to really reward them as well. And I think it's an absolutely huge piece of the market where the jigsaw has not kind of been fitted, but it feels like with this product anyway, and I'm sorry to everyone else who's listening, but I really love it. It actually feels like the jigsaw's fitting together, which I think is really nice. And any operators listening, how can they get hold of you, my friend, or anybody else? Or you have another friend who we work with in Holland, who's a superstar DJ.
Lawrence.
Yeah. But how do they get in touch with Piggy if they want to know more?
Various ways. I mean, I'm sure on the Tech on Toast website, which I think a lot of your listeners will be familiar with. You can do a request straight away. Additionally, so my name is Hugo Op den Dries. There's really not that many out there. if you just type in Hugo,
yeah,
Piggy,
you find him really quick on LinkedIn.
Definitely find me.
Yeah, reach out, guys, if you need to know more. You can check out the marketplace. It's techontoast.community/Piggy. You can find them on there. And apart from that, thank you very much for coming in, Hugo. Is it too
Thanks
early for a beer?
Me.
I think it probably is too. I've got to go to a Lightspeed meeting now. It's too early for a beer. But lovely to see you.
Very, very great to see you. Looking forward to the next time.
Thanks, man.
Cheers. Bye bye.